What's the reputation of Christianity around the world? What do people really think of us? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on evangelism and witnessing as a lifestyle. My name is Paul Dibdall, and joining me are Dr. Carl Cosart, Professor of Biblical Studies at Walla Walla University, and Dr. Alex Bryan, Senior Pastor of the Walla Walla University Church. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you, and thank you for joining me. Statisticians tell us that about one-third of the world's population is Christian. That would mean, and I'm not a mathematician, but that would mean that about two-thirds are not. What do the two-thirds think of the one-third? What is the reputation that Christianity has built around the world?
You know, that question is a difficult question to answer because I think it depends on where we are in the world. Because I think the reputation of Christianity varies from place to place and perhaps from community to community or even parts of a community. The lifestyle that Christians portray goes a long ways to being either a positive mark or a negative mark for others who are not part of the Christian movement themselves.
Hmm. How about on a more local level? I asked globally, and you said, "Well, that would change from place to place." It's really putting you on the spot, and in a sense, I'm putting myself on the spot here. What about locally, right here where we live? What are the perceptions of those that are not? That would not consider themselves Christians. What do you think? And we may not know for sure, but we have heard certain things.
I can tell you things I've heard. And once again, it varies from person to person, mm-hmm. to the nature of their exposure to the participants in the congregation. So they can say, well, those Adventists, you know, they're the ones that, well, they won't do this. They observe the Sabbath. They kind of do their own thing. They have their own school system. You know, they're kind of disconnected and maybe not a very positive viewpoint of Adventist. At the same time, others who have encountered the church through the community center, Sunbridge, for example, very positive. You know, look at the difference this congregation is trying to make in the hearts and lives of people in this community. So it depends on the lifestyle of people in the congregation and how they are perceived then from those in the community.
And I think this is why, to get really local,
yeah.
the way a Christian treats their next-door neighbor probably has a bigger impact mm-hmm. on what that next-door neighbor, I'm thinking of a non-Christian mm-hmm. next-door mm-hmm. neighbor, has more impact probably on what that person thinks of Christianity than mm-hmm. all of the books and television interviews and what churches say and
Even sermons.
I was going to say even radio programs, but sure. really, the keys to the kingdom are held next door, and I think that this then opens up the question of how that Christian is functioning.
And I think we can even take it one step further and say the keys to the kingdom are really held within our own houses, in the sense that our own children, you know, they may grow up in a tradition where they know this is what my parents do on a weekend, but how do my parents really live, you know, the other 6 days of the week? Are they kind people, loving people, or is this just a habit we do?
Yeah. I think, forgive me, Paul, for jumping in here.
I think Carl
struck a match, and I think what we believe is important, but it doesn't mean a lot if we're not loving people. Paul says as much at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and into 13, where he talks about love being the most critical of all gifts. Last mm-hmm. week, we looked at 1 Corinthians 12. And in that, at the end of that run, he says, now there's faith. Mm-hmm. Now that's a belief. Mm-hmm. There's hope. Mm-hmm. That's a belief. But that's not the most critical thing. The greatest thing is love.
Yeah.
So I think Carl's exactly right, that I can, as a Christian minister, believe all the right things. But my children may hate mm-hmm. Jesus and God and Christianity. Mm-hmm. if I'm not a loving father, if I'm not a loving human being. That's where the rubber meets the road.
So the words, I've heard it said in different ways here, the words that are spoken are less important in evangelism than the lives that are lived, the example of a life well lived. Is that fair to say?
I think very fair. Very fair.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, apparently, you know, what you both shared sounds great, but I guess it's not original with you because we find it here in the New Testament. Shall I read it? Sure, I guess I will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, were encouraged in this way. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so you will not be dependent on anybody. Now, there's a lot in that verse, but your daily life, live your daily life in such a way that you will win not the ridicule, but the respect of outsiders. Extremely powerful, I think. Which is easier, to say the right things or to live in the right way? Too easy of a question, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's easy to believe the right things. It's easy to say the right things. It's difficult to follow through. I was at a Christian conference a couple of weeks ago, and we were urged by one of the public presenters as we were going to lunch that we needed to not be wearing our name badges that identified ourselves as Christian because we were part of this seminar if we were going to go to restaurants and not tip at a full 20%. That we better take that off if we don't intend to treat people right. Yeah. And I think the nudge was obvious that we can sit in this convention and talk the talk pretty easily, but it's a whole different ballgame to actually go out and be generous with and respectful of and live a decent and a quality life with people that may be even serving at our tables.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a tension between public evangelism, public proclamation of our faith, and then what it says here in 1 Thessalonians, do your best, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Is there a tension there? Like one is sort of shout it from the rooftops and the other is try to just lead a quiet life.
Well, I think Paul is very concerned about the reputation of the church within the community. In a very time when, you know, they were being persecuted for being kind of odd and different, Paul's concerned with how the church is perceived. And not everyone kind of got the memo. And it's even funny in this passage you read from 1 Thessalonians. Paul actually picks up on this again in 2 Thessalonians, where he says in verse 10, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, the way we behave in our community can bring great benefit to the gospel and the lives of people, but also it can bring great damage.
Okay. So we have sometimes heard of a distinction between the social gospel, which is working on behalf of the needs of other people, caring for the hungry and so forth. And sometimes that's contrasted with, I don't know what to call it, but sort of the real gospel.
Yeah.
Is that a fair way of looking at these two? Like you can preach the real gospel or you can kind of help people with their needs, sort of as maybe a secondary kind of gospel.
I think you look at the life of Jesus, and Jesus did proclaim the good news, but he also cared for the needy and the outcast. You see this particularly in the Gospel of Luke. And I think these are the two, the left hand, the right hand, they go together. And when they don't go together, I think that's when we find ourselves getting into trouble. We are called to make a difference in this world, but in the ultimate sense, you know, real healing in the lives of people doesn't simply come through techniques and how to live this life, But in its fullest sense, it comes with knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a surrendered life. I think both go hand in hand. I think we just need to be careful that we don't, you know, try to manipulate maybe one instead of the other. I think both have to be to go hand in hand.
I think there does seem to be a sequence that Jesus often uses where he first engages in the social gospel, meeting the needs of people, as a way to open up the possibility of preaching the good news to them, of letting them know about eternal life. And I think that you ask which of the two is easier to do earlier, and I think it's much easier to talk than it is to do. And in fact, I can't think of a Christian, to my knowledge, who's actively doing the gospel that isn't also sort of leaking over into the speaking about it. But I know an awful lot of us that are happy to talk that won't go near the other. And I think that they're equally important. But it does seem that Jesus starts with getting his fingernails dirty. And that leads to the easier work, which is to talk.
James 1:27. I almost began with this today. But James 1:27, we have defined for us there true religion, that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless. And what is it? What is it that religion, does God consider as pure religion?
It's a powerful passage. To visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
And that's true religion, according to the
Bible. Action. Right? Words can mean anything, but actions really show what you really believe.
Yeah. I worked as a literature evangelist for a summer in a urban area, not so far from where we are now. And as people realized that I was selling religious books, they often wanted to know what religion I was affiliated with. And it was always interesting to me to note their responses when I let them know that I was a Christian. And some of them had positive responses, some of them not so positive. What would you hope the community, the family, the world would know about Christians? I mean, what would you hope would come to their mind when they knew, I'm meeting a Christian? What should they expect? What would your hopes be?
Well, Jesus conveyed what his hope would be when he said, they will know that you are really, truly my disciples if you love.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know that we are known for the way that we love people.
So until next week, maybe that's a kind of challenge for us, isn't it? Let us be true followers of Jesus and demonstrate that by love. Thank you, Alex and Carl, for your willingness to share with us today. Thanks also to Chad Ofterhaar, our program engineer. And thank you for listening in. For Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.